Anya watched one of the students run back through the jungle from the cliff area. Panic pulled her face tight. She was one of Professor Rai's students and knew the area well. If she was frightened, there had to be a reason.
Doug, I'm going to have to call you back.
Lochata ran out to meet the student and reached her before Anya. The older woman grabbed the younger one by the shoulders to calm her. The student silently gestured toward the cliff. Rivulets ran down the bill of Anya's baseball cap, and she was drenched at once. She reached into the otherwear and felt the sword. The hilt felt familiar in her hand, and she took comfort in it. From the reddened state of the student's eyes, Anya knew she was crying, but the tears mixed in with the rain so quickly they disappeared at once.
What's wrong?
The sea! It has withdrawn!
Withdrawn?
It has receded!
An outgoing tide will do that.
No! It is much more than just the tide!
Anya studied the irregular line of broken rocks at the foot of the cliff. She'd never seen the rocks or that much of the sea bottom before. As she watched, the water seemed to draw back even more.
The sea's never done that before.
Tsunami! It's a tsunami!
Fear shook Anya. The horrifying images of the 2004 tsunami shot through Anya's head. The massive waves had killed 250,000 people. She grabbed Lochata's arm with one of her hands and the student's with the other.
Run!
Despite her age, the archaeology professor proved fleet-footed. The three women ran through the dig site and avoided the pits the team had dug in their search for the sacrificial well. Just as they nearly reached the tent, Lochata and Anya both lost their footing. Mud coated Anya's clothing and the right side of her face. She wiped it out of her right eye and tried to ignore the burning sensation it caused. She pushed herself up and hauled Lochata to her feet. Unable to stop herself, Anya looked back toward the sea. In the distance, barely discernible through the haze of fog, a giant wall of water raced toward the coast. For one frozen second, Anya stood locked in place. Even with everything she'd seen with Rue and Garin, she wasn't prepared for the tsunami wave. It was a huge, rolling curl of ocean that was closing on the shoreline quickly. Anya couldn't tell how high the water was, but she could see it was higher than the cliff. She spotted the site crew staring at the approaching wave in open-mouthed horror.
Get into the trees! Climb the trees!
She didn't know if that would work, but there was no way they were going to outrun the wave. Climbing was the only option.
The trees!
The dig crew started climbing trees as another tremor shook the ground. Anya had a quick image of the cliff shearing off and plunging into the sea with them on it. It was a terrifying thought. She ducked into the small tent she'd been issued, grabbed her backpack, and slid it over one shoulder. On her way to the nearest tree, she grabbed a coil of rope with a grappling hook from the back of one of the four-wheel drive vehicles they had to help with transportation. Rope was always important on a dig, and she knew it would come in handy while they were in the trees. If nothing else, they could use it to lash their supplies together, or as a safety line until the floodwaters subsided. Anya looked above her, seeing that four other site workers had already taken refuge among the thick branches of the tree she stood beneath.
Higher!
The teak tree towered over 100 feet above the ground and provided plenty of branches for the climbers to use to haul themselves up. The wave rolled into Anya like a battering ram and knocked her into the tree trunk with enough force to stun her. The rough bark smashed into the side of her face and a burning pain followed. She hung on to the tree out of desperation, unsure if she'd be able to hold. She could feel the water rising above her knees, her waist, her chest. Anya clung to the bark and hoped it didn't give way beneath her fingers. All she saw was swirling water. She fought to stay calm. She tilted her head back and looked up the tree. She couldn't tell how high the water went. She felt the tree quiver under the onslaught of the flood. Staying underwater wasn't an option. Grimly, Anya slid her arms and legs up the trunk and felt the bark bite deeply into her bare flesh. She crept up slowly, only inches at a time.
No!
Anya turned seaward, fighting to keep her precarious hold. She caught a branch above her head and hauled herself out of the water. Almost full dark had rolled in with the tsunami. Anya surveyed the trees for the survivors. A flashlight beam lanced through the darkness. The bright beam stung her eyes. She turned her head away. She sat on a branch 8 feet above the water. The level didn't appear to be rising.
Anya! Here! They said you were underwater!
Not anymore!
Judging herself to be at a safe height, Anya shrugged out of her backpack and checked it. It was constructed so the main cargo area, where she carried her notebook computer, her camera, and her other electronic equipment, was waterproof. She'd carefully packed it when the storm approached. The only worry was that debris might have smashed it. Everything felt all right. She didn't want to open the backpack in the rain to find out. After selecting a sturdy branch above her, she used the straps to secure the backpack. She took a flashlight from one of the outside pockets. For the moment, no sign remained of the cliff as the water continued to surge through the jungle and inland. It's got to be at least 15 feet deep, Anya thought. She tried to remember how high the lowest tree branches had been from the ground. Then she realized she didn't know where the lowest branches were anymore. Anya turned the beam upwards and spotted Jason Kim sitting a few branches up. He clung to the tree bole. A young German woman had her arms wrapped around his waist. Both of them looked terrified.
How long is this going to last, Anya?
I don't know.
Is that as high as it gets?
I think so.
Anya turned to spot a teak tree as it fell into the water. 3 dig members clung to the branches as it went down. Anya guessed that the tree had been poorly rooted or had rotted and weakened. Either way, the surging sea started to carry the tree away.
They're gonna get killed!
Anya knew that death was a possibility. If they stayed with the tree, if they didn't get smashed by the branches, they might survive. But the water might carry them a mile or more into the interior, just far enough for them to get lost and possibly die from some other cause. Anya grabbed her rope and shimmied along the thick branch she was on. Just as the branch started to sag beneath her weight, she jumped forward for the next tree. The teaks overcrowded the area, and the branches grew close together. Like an aerial gymnast working uneven bars, she made her way through the trees faster than the floodwaters could carry them away. She also got closer to the water level. Her hands burned from friction against the bark. Anya shrugged the rope from her shoulder. Setting herself on a limb as wide as her body, she shook out the rope, gripping it right below the grappling hook. The grappling hook landed in the branches of the fallen tree. It jerked and bounced as it slid along the length of the tree without securing a hold.
Come on.
The grappling hook snugged up against a thick branch. Anya yanked on it like fishing line to set it. Satisfied it was securely in place, and knowing that she'd never be able to hold the tree on her own, she dropped over the back of the branch she was on, paying out the rope as she plunged into the water. The flashlight beams of the other dig site members played over the water as they tracked the tree caught in the surge. The glowing light continued moving away from Anya. When the rope bit into her hand, Anya paid out more line and fought the current to get to the base of the tree she'd dropped from. Once she had hold of the tree, she pulled herself around it and looped the rope. The coarse fiber burned along her palm. The rope pulled taut. The tree she'd attached it to shivered under the assault, but it held. Working quickly, Anya tied the rope off and made it secure. She had to work one-handed while she held onto the tree with the other. Then, as black spots danced in her vision from lack of oxygen, she kicked and swam forward, still gripping tight to the teak. The flashlight beams from the other dig site members barely reached the fallen tree. In the dim light, Anya saw that all 3 people still held on to the branches less than 30 feet away from her. Anya abandoned her hold and let the current take her. The current wasn't as strong as it had been earlier. Anya hung on for a moment to gather her strength. Instead, the constant battle with the current only leached energy from her. She forced her body out of the water and onto the tree.
Is everyone all right?
The 3 college students looked pale and frightened in the dancing flashlight beams. Tethered at the end of the rope, the tree danced and jerked like a fish on a line. Anya spotted the white scars left in the bark by the grappling hook's prongs. She could see the branch the hook had caught had started to tear away. Anya made her way across the slippery tree trunk and grabbed the branches from another nearby tree. She held tight and saw blood from the cuts on her hands. She ignored the pain and kept gripping.
Get into this tree now! That branch is going to tear free.
I don't have another rope, and I don't think we'll get this lucky twice.
Awkwardly and fearfully, the three students began to make their way along the rope towards the other tree. Anya helped the students, pulling them into the branches of the secure teak she had wrapped herself around. She felt the cold from the storm blasting through her body. The broken tree slipped from the grappling hook, floating away into the darkness. In the shifting flashlight beams, Anya watched as the students stared. She could see in their eyes that they recognized how close they had come to disappearing with it. Anya settled in and got as comfortable as she could. It promised to be a long night. Anya awoke with the dawn. The sun painted the eastern horizon pink and purple with hints of gold and ruby. Blinking against the brightness, Anya relished the increasing warmth. When she pushed herself up against the crook of the tree's branches where she'd slept, the pain in her hands reminded her of the damage she'd done. She looked down at them and found several tears and scrapes across her palms. They weren't as bad as they'd felt last night, but they were still painful when she flexed them. Looking down, Anya saw that the water level had dropped considerably, but it still looked several feet deep. There was no sign of the campsite or the vehicles. Anya glanced back up and shaded her eyes against the sun. One of the Indian college students sat on a limb above her. She was young and thin, with long black hair.
Professor Creed, I can't believe you slept like that.
It's Indira, right?
Yes. I couldn't sleep a wink.
I probably shouldn't have.
I left my computer down there. All my stuff. It's probably ruined, isn't it?
I'm afraid so, Indira. Oh.
A guilty feeling stole through Anya, even though she'd had nothing to do with the tsunami. She looked back at the tree she'd originally climbed. Her backpack still hung safely from the limb. Replacing the equipment would have been a pain, but financially she could have done it. She grabbed the limb over her head and pulled up. Her hand burned as the cuts pulled. A quick inspection revealed that none of them had broken open. Infection could be a problem in this climate, and the first things you take care of when you're out in the tropics are your hands and feet. She discovered she was sore from sleeping in the tree. All the diving, jumping, and swimming had probably contributed to it, too.
Professor Creed?
Yes?
I just wanted to thank you for saving us. That was the coolest thing I think I've ever seen anyone do.